This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne with Steve Inskeep, who has traveled down to Jonesboro, Arkansas. This week's school shooting in Minnesota brought back memories of a similar shooting near Jonesboro 7 years ago this week. On a spring afternoon, gunshots killed a teacher and four students at the Westside Middle School. Linda Render was a counselor there.
When you go through something like we went through, everybody changes. Any problems that anybody has is just multiplied, magnified beyond belief, and everybody changes.
Today, the survivors of the shooting in Arkansas have one thing that the Minnesota survivors do not. They've had time to recover. Steve has this story on how the shooting still affects the community.
7 years later, Sheriff Jack McCann still searches for the answer to this question.
How does someone that young get that messed up mentally to do this?
One of the boys arrested was 13 years old. The other was 11. Mitchell Johnson and Andrew Golden stole a van. They filled it with stolen weapons, and then they hid in the woods overlooking their middle school. The boys knew a fire alarm could flush people into the schoolyard where Sheriff McCann now stands.
One of the boys came in, set off the alarm, and then ran back out.
We're looking at a door, an exit door right here. Kids would have come out that door.
Right.
And the door locked behind them?
Yes. And it's got the push bar on the inside. Of course, you can come out, but you can't go back in.
So a lot of time has passed.
Not enough.
Jonesboro's slow recovery isn't quite finished, though it began in that spring of 1998. Then, as now, you know it's springtime here because of the pear trees. They're covered with white flowers that look like popcorn. It was a dark time, though, for Mary Hollis Inboden. She was a sixth-grade student who survived the shooting. Her best friend died on that Tuesday.
My mother and I can talk now about how Tuesdays were really difficult for me to go to school. And I would, you know, fake illness or, for some reason or another, not be able to get through a full Tuesday at school.
The school counselor, Linda Render, helped students make it to the end of that school year. But when they returned the next fall, some seemed worse.
The least little thing would set them off, and then they may spend half a day in my office. And then that was just like a domino effect. I may have one the next hour, I may have 15. I told my principal I had to have some help. So we were given a social worker and a resource officer.
A police officer?
Mm-hmm.
As it got into like the second semester, did things improve?
Things were really getting a lot better. In fact, I thought we are making progress. We planned a talent show and the teachers were even getting a little silly. They dressed up and were going to do some acts in the talent show, and that was on April the 20th, the day of Columbine. And from that, it just fell apart again.
People all across Jonesboro remember the day they heard the news of that Colorado shooting in 1999. On that day, the Reverend Bruce Tippett got a phone call from his wife.
I went home, and my teenage daughter, I think she was in the eighth grade then, is curled up on the couch in a fetal position. She wasn't there at Westside. And, you know, it was what our community felt.
This community is a city of about 55,000 amid the rice and cotton fields near the Mississippi River. Reverend Tippett is the pastor of Jonesboro's First Baptist Church. When we met him at the church this week, you could hear the choir rehearsing for the coming Easter service. Alleluia. Downstairs, Reverend Tippett sat down to talk of the past 7 years. After the shooting, he was assigned to provide information to the families of the victims. And on the first Sunday afterward, the pastor found himself unable to give a sermon. It took time to find words.
I don't have pat answers for the problem of evil, because that's what it is. You're just living with the problem of evil. And either you drive yourself crazy trying to find answers that aren't there, or you continue to go to a God who hurts with us, and that's the God that I trust.
Since 1998, some Jonesboro residents have sought answers in their faith, while others searched the public library. A filing cabinet in this building still contains newspaper photos of the two young suspects. In the pictures, they're smooth-faced children, previously known only as a football player and a member of the middle school band. Since their arrest, many residents have requested library books about children and violence. The library expanded its selection, but it wasn't easy to match any author's theories to this particular case. These days, shooting witness Mary Hollis Inboden resists any simple explanation of what Mitchell Johnson and Andrew Golden did.
You know, I think that I never personally went through any kind of No, I'm not going to say that. That's wrong. I did blame. I blamed, I think a lot of classmates of mine blamed Mitch and Andrew's parents, Mitch and Andrew's home life for this. But nobody really knew them. So it's not an idea drawn from fact about this blame issue. I think everybody, when something that bad happens, everybody wants to find something to blame because it's easier. It helps us, you know, grieve easier. It makes things more understandable. But after a while, you have to let that go because it doesn't help you.
Mary Hollis is 19 years old now, and she says she found a different way to recover. She became a public speaker. Her parents and grandparents drove her to schools around the region, where she gave speeches about moving on with life. Today, she's attending college in Memphis, acting in a Memphis theater, and working part-time in a museum honoring Martin Luther King.
My parents never let me become a victim. When it came down to it, you know, my parents did not let this affect my life.
And yet there are still questions, loose ends. Mary wonders what her best friend might have been like if she'd lived. The man who was the sheriff in 1998 sometimes thinks about the two young offenders. To Judge Dale Haas, the wonder is that the two armed boys survived.
I remember one of the young policemen, he was telling me that whenever they approached the suspects and they told him to halt, one of them threw down his weapon and the other one aimed his weapon at him. And he started crying. He said, I couldn't shoot him. And I said, well, why? He said, because he looked just like my little brother.
This summer, the older offender turns 21. In accordance with the law for juvenile offenders and to the dismay of some Jonesboro residents, the sheriff says that Mitchell Johnson will be released from prison. Yesterday, a few of the people who survived the shooting came back to the Westside Middle School. They gathered by a silver monument at the very minute of the shooting 7 years before. The visitors laughed more than you might expect. This became a kind of reunion. Some of the young women are in college now. Some are married. Some are mothers. Lindsay Kirksey brought along her daughter, Haley, 2 years old, with a pink ribbon in her hair.
If you keep coming back here every year, I guess in, you know, we go another 2, 3, 4 years, these kids are going to be old enough to be asking why.
Mom, why do we come here every year? Same date, same time. Tell her something.
I think she can understand a little bit.
Whitney, does this kid never...
As their children come to understand more, these survivors of the Jonesboro school shooting expect more questions that may be harder to answer.
Go over there, Mama.